Amen. I was kind of nervous this week while I was thinking and praying on the scriptures, and I didn't know what to preach tonight. I didn't feel any kind of leading or any guidance regarding what to preach. And I read a fair bit of Bible this week and just tried to listen to the Lord and wait on the Lord. And I woke up this morning, and it was like, I mean, before I even opened my eyes, like my first thought this morning, this verse was in my mind. Like I heard this verse in my mind. I don't know why, because it's an unusual verse, and oftentimes it's not a verse that I think on a lot compared to other scriptures. It's not a verse that I meditate or think on a lot, but it's the 10th verse of John chapter number 10. But tonight we're going to begin reading in John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this: "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Verse number 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I'd like to talk a little bit here tonight. I could probably stand here behind this pulpit tonight and preach all night on that good shepherd. But the Lord has put it on my heart tonight to preach on a different character that we find in the scripture in this 10th verse, and that is the thief. The thief in verse number 10. And if the Lord would help me here this evening, I'd like to preach on this thought: the devil's desire. The devil's desire. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, you know I cannot preach on my own, that I need your help, Father. Lord, I need a filling of your Spirit, Lord. I need unction, I need liberty, Lord. I need a great touch of grace, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd have mercy in this hour, and Lord, help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind, Lord. Help me to communicate the message the way that it's on my heart, Father, in such a way, Lord, that we might both see and understand and come to your throne of grace with a sober mind, understanding more about this adversary that we face, Lord, this common enemy, God. And Lord, I pray that you help us to do our very best to focus our hearts and our minds on the intent of the scripture here this evening. We'll give you thanks and glory for it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. See, it's interesting in this passage of scripture because a few different phrases are mentioned throughout this parable in John chapter number 10. In verse number 1, he mentioned, But he that climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And then he mentions down again that thieves and robbers in verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In verse number 10, he goes from a general group, speaking of thieves and speaking of robbers, to a primarily he's speaking of one person in verse number 10, and he says, the thief. The thief, in verse number 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I believe this evening, I've read many of commentaries as I was studying today for this passage of Scripture and what they would say about this thief, and some speak in regards of this parable, speaking of the kingdom of God that was to come, this messianic kingdom, and some speak in regard to other things and the millennial reign and all these things, and some believe this thief to be himself the false shepherd or the antichrist that is to come, and when he'd come on the scene, he'd sign that false peace treaty with Israel and the great tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble would ensue upon the earth after the church has already been taken out. But one thing is for certain here this evening, and that is that you and I, as Christians, as believers of the Word of God, as God's children and God's people, share a common adversary in the devil. And no doubt that the Antichrist that is spoken of, or possibly referred to in the Scripture, and the devil himself, the deceiver, that great red dragon in Revelation chapter number 12, is none other than the one we find in verse number 10, and his desires and his intents for your life and for my life are the same as the thief that is found in John chapter number 10. The Bible says this. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That word, I love the way the King James phrases it. He says, "He comes not but for to do this." You know what he's saying? He's coming exclusively for this reason. He's coming exclusively for this reason. There is one intent, there is one purpose that the devil has for your life in here this evening, and it's not to bless you, it's not to protect you, it's not to take care of you, it's not to help you along your way. It is to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief. We're speaking of the devil here this evening. The devil has a desire. He has a plan for you individually, and how he would like to trip you up, how he would like to take you out, how he would like to destroy your life. And if the Lord had helped me, I'd preach on this devil's desire. First and foremost, we see it right there in the Scripture. It's to steal. It's to steal. Stealing's a sin. Taking things that aren't yours are a sin. And the Bible tells us that that sin, it originated right there in Ezekiel chapter number 28 with the prince of Tyre, speaking of the devil himself. And when he fell, that sin originated, and that sin nature was given to Adam when he willingly disobeyed God and listened to that serpent in the garden. The Bible tells us that the devil is to steal. The Bible talks about these false shepherds as Jesus is preaching throughout the Gospels, and he speaks to these Pharisees, and he's mentioned these false shepherds, and many times he makes an interesting phrase, and he says, to devour the widow's houses. He's speaking about taking advantage of those who wouldn't know any better, those who are innocent, those who are frail, those who are weak. He says these false shepherds, they come in and they devour these widows' houses. I was listening to something this week. Somebody put it out on social media there, one of these televangelists out there. He said he's one of those word of faith preachers. He's health and wealth preachers. And he said that he was starting a campaign raising money to buy a $54 million jet, so that he could go anywhere in the world one stop and do this and do that. Now, this man already had three other jets. This man already had three other planes in his ministry, and he said, he's praying, won't you send money, won't you sow seeds? And if you ever take just a minute to listen to these guys, if you got any spiritual bone in your body, you can identify that this stuff's fake as can be. I went to a Christian bookstore just the other day to buy a Bible for a friend, and as I was walking over into the Bible, the King James Bible section's this big in most of these Christian bookstores, and I walked over there, and I was looking through what little bit of Bibles they had, and they were playing that junk over the speakers, and I heard this person saying, Would you give $200? Would you give $300? Would you sow this seed of faith? I can promise you healing. I can promise you all this. I can promise you blessings if you'll just send the money to us. I believe that that's exactly the stuff that Jesus was warning of with these false shepherds in the Gospels, where he says that they would come to devour these widows' houses. I was reading about that same man who was asking for that money for that jet, and a lady gave a testimony of how that after her mother had passed away and died of cancer, they found the transactions of all the things that she had done, and she had spent her entire life savings sending it to this man and sending it to his ministry, and there was correspondence between people who represented his ministry and this lady who was frail and was sick and was dying, and the letters just kept saying, "Well, keep sending money, keep sending money. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. You're on the verge of something big happening." And my friend, those things are that wickedness, that evil, that divisiveness and that greediness and that theft is sown with its roots in hell. Jesus tells us in the Scriptures that the thief has come to steal. The devil's out to take from you. He's never going to give anything. He's not a giver, he's a taker. And those that he would steal from the fold, those sheep that he would take from the flock of God, those are the ones who surely will be killed and destroyed, as Jesus says in the Scriptures. He came to steal. He said, what all is he looking to steal this evening? Maybe he's looking to steal your thoughts. You ever think about that? You know, I believe the most intense Christian warfare I know in my life, and I believe in the lives of many other Christians, if we're honest, happens right here between our ears. It happens right here in our mind when we allow ourselves to entertain wicked and evil thoughts. And we allow ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, it says, neither give place to the devil. When it talks about giving place to the devil, it's talking about giving him a license. It's talking about giving him an opportunity. It's talking about giving him a chance. When you decide to give these things to God, or give these things to the devil, when the devil comes to take these things and you turn them over willingly, you're turning yourself over to the influence of the devil and the judgment of God. It speaks about stealing. I believe that he steals thoughts from a lot of Christians. Amen. I believe that there's a lot of times when the invitation's happening and the preacher's preaching and there's so much pride welled up in our heart that we're too afraid to go up to the altar. The devil's trying to steal what God is doing in your heart. Not only will he steal our thoughts, I believe he'll steal our time. I believe he'll steal our time. Isn't it funny how much time we can waste doing silly stuff when we could doing something profitable for God? I'm talking about sitting there. I'm telling you what. You get down on your phone and you get on Twitter or Facebook and you feel like you're only on there for 10 minutes and you look down and an hour and a half's gone by. And I understand those platforms can be used for the glory of God and you can use those to encourage one another and help one another and pray for one another. I understand that. But what I'm saying is if you're not careful, it can be a big waste of time and the devil can use it to steal that time from you that you can't ever get back. He'll steal your thoughts, he'll steal your time, he'll steal your treasures. He'll steal your treasures. You say, how do I know the devil's trying to steal my treasures? Because when the offering plate comes by, you're reluctant to put that 5 or that 10 or that 20 in that offering plate. But then you go out and you see that fancy pocket knife, and I'm preaching to myself right now. You see that fancy pocket knife, $55, $60, and you're not afraid to drop the money on it. The devil's trying to take from you what God could use you to do to be a blessing to God's house and to God's people and for His glory. He'll rob you of your treasures. He'll rob you of your talent. Isn't it a shame how many people, I think all these country music singers down in Nashville, and they have such beautiful voices, and every now and then, once in a while, they'll get a wild hair and they'll cut a gospel album and they'll sing gospel music and I'll hear it and it'll sound so wonderful and it's old-fashioned. I'll hear that guitar picking and that piano playing and I'll be singing those old hymns and I think, my goodness, what if they just use their talent for the Lord? They'll sing those songs and they'll turn around and they'll sing about running around their wives and going down to the honky-tonks and the bars and drinking beer and getting in fights and doing all this wickedness and carousing around and carrying on. The devil will steal people's talents from them. He'll steal your talent. He'll steal your testimony. If you're not careful, he's going to steal your testimony. He said, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, when they lay you in the ground, they want to say, oh, so-and-so, she loved God. She served God. She did everything she could for the Lord. Instead, they'll say, that's a shame she got out of church. It's a shame she gave up on God. It's a shame he quit preaching. It's a shame he hung it up. It's a shame that he quit doing the things that God had called him to do. I was so sure that the touch of God was on his life, then he backslid on God. He'll steal that testimony from you. He doesn't come to give, he comes to take. He came to steal. Not only does he come to steal, but he comes to slay. He comes to slay. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this here tonight. What the devil wants for you tonight, he wants you dead. That's exactly what he wants. He wants for you to die. That's all he wants because he knows if you're dead, you can't be used for God. The only opportunity and the only chance that we get to glorify God in retrospect of eternity and the rewards that are awaiting us in heaven, the only things that count for God are the things that we do here on this earth. The poet said, only one life will soon be passed and what was done for Christ will last. And the devil will know that if he can get you in the grave, he has done his job. We live in a day and age in which wickedness and violence runs through our streets, in which drug addiction is rampant. And I'm telling you what the devil's doing with young people nowadays. He's trying to get them they're trying to take part in that leaven of Herod, as we preached about, this hedonistic lifestyle that says self-pleasure and self-gratification is the ultimate high. And he's trying to get them to put pills up their nose and needles in their arms and trying to get them to chase these highs. And before they know it, they're laying in a casket, 22, 23 years old, It shouldn't have been that the first funeral I ever preached as a 19-year-old boy was for my 27-year-old cousin who overdosed on heroin. But that's the day and the age in which we live, and the devil is still doing everything that he can to wipe people out. He came to steal. He came to kill. We need to take guard, amen, against these things. To steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants you to be part of that second resurrection. The Bible says, if you read in the Scriptures, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. But there is a second resurrection. I read about it this week in Revelation chapter number 20. John was there. He said, behold, I saw a great white throne. He saw the multitudes that stood in front of him, great and small, young and old, poor and rich, affluent and unlearned. It does not matter. Sin does not discriminate. The devil does not discriminate. He's going to take anybody he can get. And what he wants for you is to be part of that second resurrection, where you're not going up with the church and you're not being resurrected unto glory to stand before God with him and all his angels in praise and throw those crowns down and wear that white linen and return with him on those horses. He doesn't want you to be part of that resurrection. He wants you to be part of that second resurrection, that resurrection unto damnation, where there's no more mercy, where there's no more grace, where you stand before God and the books are opened and every account of everything you've ever done in your life, all your sins and all your charges are laid before the great white throne of God, and there's another book written that is the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can search and you can change pages and you can go through different volumes, but you're never going to find your name there. The devil wants you destroyed. He doesn't only want you physically dead and in the grave so you can't do anything for God. He wants you dead spiritually. He wants you separated from God. He'd love nothing more than for tonight, if you were to die and draw your final breath, that you would lift your eyes just like the rich man did in Luke chapter number 16 when he died and he lifted his eyes in hell. That's what the devil wants for you in here this evening. He wants you killed. He wants you dead. He wants you to be part of that second death. That's what he desires. That's what he desires. Not only does he desire to steal and to slay, he desires to spoil. He desires to spoil. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, destroy what, preacher? Your home, your marriage, your family, your children, your church, your pastor, your friends, your testimony. He'll take anything he can get this evening. He's trying to destroy all of it. And I think he does it subtly too. I don't think that when people backslide or when people turn away from God or when people do these things, I don't believe that it's just all of a sudden, all at once, it just hits them like a big wave and it's over. I believe it's a result of much work from the devil and from his minions and from his followers and from demons. Little thoughts here and there. It's a result of hundreds and thousands of wicked imaginations that pass through our minds. Indulgences that we give over to in our flesh. Just small things. I mean, when you look at other people's sin, it doesn't look so bad, does it? It doesn't seem so bad when you compare it to other people's sin and the thing that they're doing. That's what the devil wants you to think here this evening. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the ends thereof are destruction. I'll tell you what the devil is using in this day and age to destroy anything that he can get his hands on. He's going to use false direction. He's going to use false direction. He's going to try and make you think. You know, the devil's going to do anything he can to take something that's wicked and that's holy. And listen to me, I'm not going to get real doctrinal tonight. I'll save that for another night. But I do want to say this. The devil's got a bunch of churches in a mess right now, where they're so full of the devil and they're still turned away backwards from the gospel and from the truth of God's word, and they want to put the Holy Spirit's name on it. They want to call it Holy Ghost power and they want to call it Pentecostal power. That's what the devil's trying to do. He takes these things that are evil and that are wicked and he just slaps the name of God over it. You know, the most abused name in the world today is the name of Jesus Christ. People do ungodly and wicked and unholy things, and they teach that your works can get you to heaven. They teach that your baptism can get you to heaven. They teach that your money can get you to heaven. And then they put the name of Jesus Christ over it. He's leading them in a false direction that is only going to lead to destruction. Today's church, you know what it's doing? It's searching for ways out. It's searching for different ways to do things. It's searching for different methods. They say, well, we got to do this and we got to do that. We can't draw a crowd, so we got to change our music. We got to change our attire. We can't have our message be so harsh. We got to change our Bible. We got to change this. We got to change that. We have to lower our standards. We got to do all this. He's leading them in a false direction that's only going to take them to destruction. That's what he wants to do, is he wants to destroy. He'll use a false direction. Not only will he use a false direction, but he'll use a false doctrine. That's why it's important for the Church of the Living God to know and to understand the doctrines of this book right here. Amen. False doctrine. My aunt called me on Thursday morning. No. Monday morning. My aunt called me and she said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, okay. And this lady just got saved 2 years ago. She had just come through the new convert Sunday school class there at Taze Valley. She's helping my young cousin who's 9 years old. He's in Awanas. They're about on the same level spiritually right now. They're learning together and being discipled together. And she said, I need to ask you about postmillennialism. And I thought to myself, that was not the question I was expecting from you. She said, I need to ask you about postmillennialism. If you're not familiar, it's a messed up eschatological belief, or belief regarding the things to come and the things in Revelation, the second coming of Christ. It's a messed up belief, and I don't have time to chase that rabbit tonight, but I do want you to know this, that postmillennium and amillennialism are not scripturally taught in the Bible if you take the Bible fundamentally the way it's supposed to be understood and literally as the Word of God. And I began to explain a little bit about how they believe that there won't literally be a millennial reign here on earth, and they don't literally believe that Christ is going to return in some cases and all these things. And as I was explaining it to her, I said, it all has to do with a hermeneutic principle, or how you interpret the Bible. And I said, we as dispensationalists, we as premillennialists, or what that believes in simple terms, is that Jesus is going to return before he sets up the millennium. That's what that means. The advent comes before the millennium. If you read Revelation chapter number 20, it's plain as day. But I'll tell you what these other theological systems do. I'll tell you what these false doctrines do. They take the Bible, and rather than understanding it literally, rather than taking it at face value and understanding it as the Word of God, spoken, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, inspired. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for direction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's the living, breathing Word of God. It is to be literally understood. And what they do is, rather than taking a literal approach or a literal hermeneutic, they take what's called an allegorical approach. And I understand that there's symbolism in the Bible, but that symbolism is to be understood literally. And what they do is they take this symbolism and they take this allegorical principle and they just apply it to whatever they can find in the Bible. And listen to me, friend, if you do that, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. You can make the Bible fit whatever theological system you want it to fit. And I got to reading and I got to studying a little bit in one of my theology books about these other millennial views. And I was thinking to myself, Brother Tom, it's nothing but modernism. It's nothing but one step from fundamental Bible-believing Christianity. And they say, well, we can interpret it allegorically. And then they step down and they say, well, maybe the Bible's not inspired. And then they take another step and they say, well, it would have been impossible for Christ to have been born of a virgin. And then they said, well, Jesus must have just been a good teacher. He must not have been God. And it's just steps in the wrong direction. And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from devil. It comes from Satan himself. It comes from that deceiver, because he's trying to tear down the Church of the Living God, and he's using false doctrine to do it. False doctrine to do it. The Southern Baptist Seminary ordains thousands of women every year to pastor churches. The Episcopal Church ordains open homosexuals to administer the things of God to their congregations. We're living in a day in which God is trying to tear down the church through false doctrine. Not only through false direction and false doctrines, He's trying to destroy it through false deities. I tell you, one of my favorite things to do is run around and go to music stores and pawn shops. That's what I like to do. I know I'm lame, okay? I like to go around and I like to look for cheap flat-top guitars. And if I'm going to a town or visiting somewhere, I'll Google where the pawn shops are, I'll Google where the music shops are, and I was in this one place, and I went in this pawn shop, and I went in there, and I found a good-looking guitar, and I sat down, and I started to pick on it a little bit, and started to listen to it, and I was tuning it up and everything, and one of the young ladies that worked at the pawn shop came over to me, and I tried to witness to her a little bit, tried to tell her about Jesus, and she said, well, I actually grew up in a Baptist church, but she said, I don't necessarily believe all their teachings, and I said, you don't? She said, no. She said, I like to believe I have my own idea of God. My idea of God that works for me. She said, I've studied a little bit of Islam, and I've studied a little bit of Hinduism, and I've studied a little bit of Christianity. And she said, I'd like to think that I have a pretty good idea of my own God in my head. I tell you what it is. It's a false deity. It's a deity that she has created in her mind, and it comes from the devil. What's the devil doing? He's destroying her. He's taking her foundation away from her. The Bible says God sent that old preacher Amos. He said, I wasn't a preacher. I was just a herdsman or Tekoa. God called him to preach, and he pronounces the judgment of God on the people of God, and he tells them, he's speaking of the false idols of Molech and Chion. He calls them by name, and he uses this phrase. He says, the gods which ye have made unto yourselves. We live in a day and age in which churches are promoting a false deity, a false god, a false Jesus. Let me say this. Jesus was not the brother of Satan. Okay? Jesus never had a beginning. He is without beginning and end. He's without number of days. He's the Ancient of Days. He, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen? It was Jesus Christ. It's only ever been the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have a beginning. He wasn't the brother of Satan. He wasn't the son of Joseph the carpenter. Amen? He was born of a virgin's womb. The devil's going to try and use these things to spoil our churches. And Jesus, in this parable, he speaks of himself as the good shepherd, and he warns against this devil. He warns against this thief. He says he's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he follows it up with this statement right here. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what the devil's biggest lie is? And if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I want you to hear this. You know what the devil's biggest lie is? He says, I'll offer you an abundant life. He says, I'll offer you a life of pleasure, a life that you can enjoy. He says, sink your teeth into this. He says, enjoy this. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable. None of us in here, I hope, are ignorant enough to argue against that. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. There might be pleasure in sin, but in Jesus there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. He told those disciples, he says, I come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. You know what the devil's trying to do? He says, here's this life. Let me present it to you. It's so fun. He tries to get those kids, he tries to get those people to think they're missing out when they don't go to the parties where they're drinking beer. He tries to get you to think that you're missing out by not going over to where they tell those dirty jokes in the workplace. He tries to get you to think that you're missing out by not watching all those things on television that'll corrupt your mind and twist your mind and torque your mind and put it in a wicked and dark place. And when you go to church on Wednesday night at prayer meeting, the preacher can't get through to you because your mind's full of so much filth. That's what the devil tries to do. That's what he tries to do. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to promote a falsehood to you. He tries to promise a more abundant life, but let me tell you something, friend. If there's, I don't know a whole lot, all right? I understand that. I'm not the most articulate, I'm not the most learned, I'm not the most intelligent, but I know this, serving God is worth it. Living for God is worth it. And the more desire and the more effort you put into living for God, every step you take towards God, He takes a step towards you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. There ain't nothing like being close to God. There ain't nothing like feeling the sweet Holy Ghost of God commune with you in that closet of prayer, in that secret place of prayer, when you open that Bible and you know He has it ready just for you. He has just what you need to hear. When you come through those doors with your heart prepared to go to church and to hear what God would have you to hear, there's nothing better than living life for God. That's not what the devil wants, though. He wants to steal that from you. He wants to kill you, make you of no use for God. He wants to destroy your home, your life, your family, destroy everything you know and love. Man, I'm glad I'm saved in here this evening. I'm glad I know I've been born again by the grace of God. I don't want the devil to steal or to kill or destroy in my life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's nobody looking around here but me. I wonder if there be any among us in here this evening that want to come up to the altar and pray. Maybe you got a loved one that's wayward. Maybe you got a brother, a sister. Maybe you got a niece, a nephew, a son, a daughter. Maybe you got parents that are struggling. Maybe you got people in your life and that you feel like they're in the grips, they're in the vice, they're in the devil's stronghold. And you want to come to the altar and pray for them tonight. I invite you to come. Ain't nobody looking around but me. I'm sure there's somebody in your heart tonight that you can come and pray for. Ain't nobody looking but me tonight. If you're in here this evening, you say, "Preacher, I feel like I've been getting whooped up on by the devil. I feel like I've been getting attacked by the devil. I feel like I've been getting beat up on, and I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of him taking and taking and taking and stealing. I'm sick of him killing off people that I love. I'm sick of watching people that I love die and overdose and succumb to sin and get laid down in the grave. I'm sick of watching him destroy families. I'm sick of watching him destroy ministries. I'm sick of watching him destroy preachers. I'm sick of watching him do all these things. Preacher, I want it to change. I want it to start with me. Would you raise your hand?" God bless those hands. I don't want the devil to have his way in any of our lives here tonight. I tell you what would be real good for us is if we purpose in our heart, we make a decision tonight. Hey, I'm gonna cling to that old rugged cross. I'm going to cling to that old King James Bible. I'm going to seek after God. David said, "He is my refuge and my high tower." David said, "He is the light of my life and my salvation. In Him will I hope." Hallelujah. If you've got Jesus here this evening, you've got more than enough to fight that old devil. He's nothing but a liar, a trickster, a crook, a low-down, dirty dog. He wants to take you out tonight. Christians, it'd be a good idea for us to take a stand. Say, "I ain't letting it happen. Not my family, not my home, not my kids, not my marriage, not my church." I invite you to come and pray tonight.